Okay, we'll begin today with the first pasuk in Ezra, Vishnas Achas, Lechoresh Melech Paras, Lechlois Devar Hashem Mipi Yirmiyah. In the first year of Choresh, the king of Paras, okay, we'll see the timeline in a few moments, which coincided with Lechalois Devar Hashem Mipi Yirmiyah, the end of the time period that came from Yirmiyah, which was the 70 years. Yirmiyah said that after 70 years, we'll see the Rashi in one moment, that after 70 years from the time of the Churban, or from a period of time relating to the Churban, the Churvos of Yerushalayim will be rebuilt. That time period is now is a break point, and that timeline has come. We'll see in a moment what that means. L'chalois d'var Hashem b'pir Yirmiyah. Heir Hashem, Hashem aroused es ruach, the spirit, the will of Koresh Melech Paras, Koresh King of Paras, v'yavar kol b'chol malchuso, and he issued a proclamation throughout his entire kingdom, v'gam b'michtav, and also in writing Lamar. Let's read already the second pasuk. What is the proclamation? Koyamar Koresh Melech Paras, so says Koresh King of Paras, kol mamlechos aretz, all of the kingdoms of the earth, nasan li Hashem elokeish hashamayim, Hashem has granted me, v'hu fokad olah, he has commanded me, live no slow, that I should build for him bayis b'Yerushalayim, asher b'Yehuda, to rebuild a bayis, to build a bayis, the Beis Hamikdash in Yerushalayim, asher, which is in the region of Yehuda. Okay, there's a lot going on here. Let's learn the Rashi first. Okay, the Rashi is a very nice hakdama to the Sefer Ezra. It's a long Rashi, but it's not that difficult. So Rashi, Pasuk Aleph, Seder Sefer Zeh Sodur U'Moshuch Achar Sefer Daniel. Okay, so Rashi's first yesod is that Sefer Ezra follows Sefer Daniel. And that's why in our printings of the Tanakh, indeed we have Sefer Ezra after Daniel. Kimufurish Mubava Basra, as it says in Masechet Bava Basra, where there the Masechet Bava Basra orders the all the various Sifrei HaTanakh and puts Ezra after Sefer Daniel. The Hamila Museves Mizeh Lezeh, and the word refers, turns from one to the other. In other words, Rashi is bothered, why does the Sefer begin with a Vav? Uvishnas. If typically a new book does not begin with the Vav HaChibur. A Vav HaChibur is a letter which appears in between two Pesukim, or two different sections of the same Sefer. So Rashi is telling us the reason why the Vav is here is to connect Sefer Ezra back to Sefer Daniel. It's a continuation, because the truth is, let's review the idea, and we'll read the Rashi in a few moments, because the beginning of Sefer Daniel deals with the time period where in between the Churban Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, during the time of Nebuchadnezzar, during the time of Belshazzar, and during the time of the very beginning of Melech Koresh, before he issued his proclamation, let's review the Churban Bayis Hamikdash was done through Nebuchadnezzar. We're going to see all this in Rashi in a few moments. But the Churban Bayis Hamikdash took place through Nebuchadnezzar. After his death, his malchus was inherited by his son Evel Merodach, and then the grandchild, according to some, his child Belshazzar, and Daniel was summoned to decipher the handwriting on the wall. And at that moment in time, that night, after exactly 70 years since Nebuchadnezzar came to power, his grandson was killed. It was a surprise attack by the Malchus of Modai, by Daryovesh HaModai. And Daryovesh HaModai's Malchus lasted for a very short time. He was killed in war shortly thereafter, and was inherited by his son-in-law, Koresh, the king of Paras. So Daniel, all of the events of Daniel took place until this moment of time of Melech Koresh. All of the events we had different parts of Daniel where took place during the time of Nebuchadnezzar, even before the Churban. The beginning of Sefer Daniel begins with Nebuchadnezzar took Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah during the kibush of Yehoyachin. So that was during the time when the Beis Hamikdash was still standing. And then we have the Daniel interpreting the various dreams of Nebuchadnezzar after after the Chum Beis HaMikdash. And then we find Daniel having a whole discussion with Baal Shetzar, the grandson, during when he was thrown into the Gull of Arroyos, into the lion's den. And in between, at some point before that, we have the incident where Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were thrown to the Kivshan Reish. Daniel was not present at that moment in time. And then we have a very significant chunk of Sefer Daniel, which took place during the beginning of the Malchus of Koresh, or after, during the time of Daryovesh and Koresh, after Belshazzar was killed, after he was killed, after the hindering on the wall, and where Daniel was extremely disturbed. Why is it that Geula has not started when it's now been 70 years since the Malchus of Nebuchadnezzar and since the time of the Kibush of Yehoyachin? And then Hashem appeared to Daniel in the form of a dream, or in the form of the Malach, the vision that was shown to Daniel to explain to him what is going to take place. So this event that it says here, that now Koresh issues a proclamation to go build the Beis HaMikdash, is taking place right after the last vision of Daniel. And that's what Rashi over here is saying. The word uvishnas museves mizelaze shenemar b'Daniel. It says b'Daniel b'shnas aleph l'molchoy ani Daniel binosi bisfarim. I analyze the svarim mispar hashanim, the number of years asher hoyu dvar Hashem el Yirmiyah hanavi. And what did Yirmiyah say? L'malois l'chorvos Yerushalayim shiv mshana. After 70 years since the churban, Hashem will restore the ruins of Yerushalayim. V'chein haleches u'misaperes kol haparsha b'churban be'ba'ayis uzman golus bavel. And then the sefer goes on to describe everything which happened during time of churban be'ayis and the zman golus bavel. V'esviduyav, and how he confessed. He was disturbed. Why is it now that Belshazzar has died? And now there is a new Malchus Daryovish. Why is it that nothing has happened? Gula has not occurred. And Daniel confesses. He says vidui. He fasts. And he's mispalel. As vidui of Asher hisfado al chatos Yisrael. And then the Malach comes to him and explains to him what is going to be. And now that's where we pick up here in the beginning of Sefer Ezra. Utchila seder Sefer Zekachu. Now he explains, Rashi now explains it in a little much more detail. At the beginning of this Seder Parashah Zekachu, Shalachar Shneirag Belshazzar Melech Daryovesh Hamodi, after Belshazzar was killed by Daryovesh Hamodi, Shneimar V'Daryovesh Mado'o Kabel Malchusa, Daryovesh Mado accepted, he took over the Malchus from Bavel, the Goymer, the Achar, Misas Daryovesh, and after Daryovesh died, Daryovesh only was a Melch for 1 year. Molach Koresh, Daryovesh was 62 years old when he took over the Malchus, and Daryovesh had a son-in-law, a young man, Koresh. When Daryovesh was killed in battle, Koresh took over, Melech Koresh, Ze Melech Paras, Uvishnas Achas Lomolcho, and here is where Sefer Ezra picks up, the first year of his Malchus, Hushlamu Shivim Shana Lepikidas Golos Bavel Miyom Shegolo Yehoyakim. Now it's exactly 70 years since Golos Yehoyakim Shenemar Lefim Lolos Lebavel Ayin Shana. After 70 years of Chorbin, Efkoid Eschem, I will remember you. Shechazru Yisrael Migolos Bavel LeEretz Yisrael. They will now be given permission to return from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So what happened that year? This year that we're going to now in Ezra, in this first year, which is exactly 52 years since the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Koresh gives a proclamation, and he says you can return. They did indeed return, and they were successful in laying the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash. But then suddenly, there were people called, defined, and we'll see later on in Ezra, Nehemiah, the Tzorei Yehuda Ubin Yamin, the enemies of Yehuda Ben Yamin, Hilshinu, slandered Aleihem, Lukarish Melech Paras. So who were these slanderers? They included Haman, his 10 sons, and all of their associates. they slander to Koresh that the Jews are rebelling against you. And they influenced Koresh to change his mind, to tell the Jews not to continue with construction. And because of this slander, these slanderers, they succeeded. The proclamation was issued to stop, to halt construction, and this lasted for 18 years. Entire time of Koresh, the Achashverosh, the remainder of the years of Koresh. After Koresh died, the Malchus was inherited by Achashverosh from the story of the Megillah, Shemolach Acharav, Achnas Shtayim Lamalchus, and after Achashverosh died, his son Daryovish, then Esther, took over. Some learn that he was only 6 years old. When Achashverosh died, his son was 6 years old. He was the Someone, even the biological child of Esther Hamalka, and basically, Farshman said that she ruled. Esther Hamalka had a 6-year-old kid, wasn't going to let her 6-year-old son rule, so until he got old enough to understand what's going on, she called the shots. She basically ruled the Malchus, but it's called after Daryovish ben Achashverosh, Melech Parash, who Daryovish ben Esther, he is Daryovish ben Esther, not to be confused with Daryovish Hamodai. We have, it's really confusing because we have two Daryovish, Daryovish number one, Daryovish number two. Daryovish number one's father was also Achashverosh. So Daryovish ben Achashverosh, but he was from the nation of Modai. He conquered Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar. When he died, the Malchus went to Paras, Persia. And Achashverosh, when Paras died, when Koresh died, his son's name was Achashverosh. Achashverosh had a son, his name is Daryovish. So now we have another Daryovish ben Achashverosh. But this is Daryovish ben Achashverosh HaParsi, the Persian, not to be confused with Daryovish ben Achashverosh HaModai. He ruled, and through the influence of Esther, Uvishnash Shtayim LeMalchus. So in the second year of his Malchus, I guess when he was 7 years old, his Chilu, he once again restored, he once again reversed the stay on the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. His Chilu Livnos Beis HaMikdash Ad Asher Hushlam HaBinyan. They once again resumed constructing the Beis HaMikdash until it was complete, which was not a long time. Now, how many years was there from the time that Koresh issued the proclamation, I'm giving you permission, and then the sudden stay until Daryovish ben Esther allowed them to rebuild? It was exactly 18 years. Was exactly 18 years. So there was aschalta de geula. The geula process began with the geula process began with Koresh giving permission, but he put an end to it because of the influence of the 10 sons of Haman, and that was not reinstated until 18 years later. And 18 years later would be exactly 70 years since the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But it was when Nebuchadnezzar gave permission, for them to build it, when Koresh gave permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, this was exactly 70 years from the Kibush of Yehoyakim. In other words, 18 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Nebuchadnezzar came to Eretz Yisrael. He sent his army to Eretz Yisrael, and he conquered Yerushalayim. He did not destroy the Beis HaMikdash. He did not destroy the Beis HaMikdash, but he conquered the Beis HaMikdash. And he deposed Yehoyakim. Yehoyakim was removed from office and was replaced with Yehoyachin. Yehoyakim became the new Melech. So this was the kibush, the first true conquest of Nebuchadnezzar over Yerushalayim, exactly 18 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So that point in time. So now here we are, 57, exactly 70 years later since the Kibush of Yehoyakim. It's 52 years since the Churban Beis Hamikdash, but it's 52 years since the Churban Beis Hamikdash, but it's 70 years since the conquest of Nebuchadnezzar over Yehoyakim. He laid his hand and he demanded, they had, the Jewish people had to pay taxes and they had to pledge their loyalty to Nebuchadnezzar, and he showed them who's in control by removing the current king of Yehoyakim and taking him down to Babel, and he died, right? On the way to Babel, he died, he was killed. And he was replaced with Yehoyachin. So here we have exactly 70 years. So in other words, what do we see here? There are many layers to the prophecy. When Yirmiyahu said it's going to be 70 years, I'm going to remember you, there are different layers of 70. There are really at least three layers of 70. Babel, the power that would conquer he, the Malchus of Babel, will only last 70 years. That's one layer of interpretation. The other layer of interpretation is that the Beis HaMikdash would be rebuilt exactly 70 years later, but the beginning of the permission for the Jewish people to return would also be at a 70-year point in time. Not 70 years from the time of the Churban, but 70 years from the time of the first Kibush, the first conquest. And that's what Rashi of here is saying. Now 18 years later, in the second year of Lebishnas Shnaim L'Dar Yavish, Hushlam Ayin Shana, 70 years are now complete. L'malos L'chorvos Yerushalayim Churban Abayis. It's not been exactly 70 years since the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash coincided with the galus of the last of the kings, which was Tzidkiyahu. Shagala Tzidkiyahu Umigalos L'Hayakim Ad Galus from the time of Yehoyakim, when Nebuchadnezzar first came to Eretz Yisrael and he conquered the Yehoyakim and he replaced them with Yehoshaniah, until years later with the goal of Tzidkiyahu, Shnech Vabayis, Hayushmoine Eshrei Shana, was exactly 18 years. The Achshav, and now B'shnas Achas, L'Korish Melech Paras, Hushlmu Ayin Shana, Migolos Yehoyakim, Shagalu L'Yisrael L'Bavel. At that point in time, he took with him Yehoyakim and a group of Jews to Bavel. It's also fulfilled, this part of the vision. I will remember you. After 70 years, I will remember you. The Goymer. The Zuya Pekida. This was the Pekida, the remembering. Now, 52 years since the Korban, which is 70 years since the first conquest, the Jewish people are now being remembered by Hashem, and they are returning in mass to Yerushalayim. Uvanu Yisoy Binyan Habayis. They succeed in building the foundation. Even though it was not yet complete, 52 years migolus Tzidkiyahu shenechav habayis at shana achas leKarish, in the time of the first year of Karish Melech Paras, u'shmoyne esrei liachar shana achas leKarish. 18 years later, 18 years since the first year of Karish, she shnash time with Yavish Melech Paras hushnu shivim shana. That's when the 70 years complete. L'chol charvus yushlaim migolus Tzidkiyahu shenechav habayis at shtaim l'dayavish eschilu yisrael livnas habinyan, until when they began to actually build the base of the binyan itself. And they completed it. And so it's explicit in the Medrash called Seder Olam, which is basically a Medrash of Jewish history, of Masech the Megillah, of a Sefer Zek Asher Biarti, and in this Sefer, as I have explained, it will come to more details of his parish. Okay, so this is, let's read the next Rashi. L'chalas Rashi mipi Yirmiya, L'zman Asher Hushlam Devarish L'chal Shparuch Asher Dibar Yirmiya Hanavi Shnemar Ki L'fi Mulos L'bavel Shiv Shana Hei Rashem Rucho Ratza. The word Ruach means the will. Hashem has aroused the will. Hashem influenced Koresh to give a proclamation to let the Jewish people return. Koiloi, koilo is a kruz. Voice means a proclamation. Hichur is b'chol malchuso, v'gam b'michtav. And it wasn't only an oral proclamation, it was in writing. It was sent, letters were sent to the entire world. V'ach mechtava shalach b'chol malchuso al davar zeh, leimar v'choy amalachem b'hechriz achruz, asher hechriz, u'vigeris mechtava asher shalach b'chol malchuso. So it was written and so it was said. Pasuk Beis and Rashi, Koyamar Koresh Melech Paras Hashem. Now here's a very interesting thing. We learned this in great detail. We learned Sefer Yeshaya. We'll go back to the pasuk. The pasuk says, Koyamar Koresh Melech Paras Kol Mamluchos Aretz Nasli Hashem Elokei Yeshmaim V'Hu Hashem pokad olai. Hashem has commanded me. Live no slovayis. Birushalayim asher biyuda. Really? He's a goy. He's a guy. Where in the world did Hashem came to Koresh in a dream? He's delusional. Where did Hashem come to Koresh in a dream? So the answer is, about 250 years ago, even more, practically, Hashem came to Yeshaya. And Hashem said, here Rashi quotes the Psukim. Nosan li, let's read the words of Rashi. Shani melech, I am a melech. The shal al kol hamam mochlas. Over here, first of all, in pasuk base, he's bragging. That's very interesting. And I'll read you a medrash in a few moments. He was bragging that he controls the entire world. Next Rashi, v'pakod alai, Hashem commanded me. Tziva alai, through who? Hashem did not come to me in a dream. Hashem did not send me an email. Hashem told me through Al Yidei Yeshaya Hanavi. What did Hashem say? Live no slobai beis hamigdash v'yishlaim k'mo shenemar b'sefer Yeshaya in Perek Mem Dalid. In Perek Mem Dalid, it was recorded. This was transmitted throughout the generations. Everyone knew about this prophecy. In Sefer Yeshaya is hidden. We think when we learned Daniel, the vision of what's going to be throughout Jewish history. We learned all about this as well. We learned all of the events of Jewish history also hinted to in Sefer Yeshaya throughout the Sefer. And all the gloom and doom psukim, it tells us what's going to happen. And what does it say there? Explicitly, Ho'oimer l'Koresh, he's mentioned by name. It's an amazing thing. Hashem says to Koresh, Roi, my shepherd, v'chol chevtzi yashlem, all of my desires, he will succeed and will fulfill. V'loimar, V'le'omer, and Hashem said concerning this individual who has not yet been born, Yeshashai is predicting there's going to be an individual that's going to be called Koresh, who will be born in 250 years from now. V'le'omer, and he will say concerning Yerushalayim Tivneh, that it shall be rebuilt. The Hechel Tusat, and the Hechel shall be founded. Koyamar Hashem l'Meshicha, here Rashi quotes the exact words of the Pasuk. So says Hashem in Perek Yeshaya Perek Mem Dalid, Koy Omar Hashem l'Meshicha, to his anointed one. Hashem is calling, simply is calling Koresh his anointed. Since he will be instrumental in the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem is giving him this beautiful title of his being called anointed. L'Koresh, he calls him by name. Asher Hechazakti B'Yemino, I have strengthened him with my right hand. V'Goymer, and the pasuk goes on to say, he shall build, who Yivne Bayis L'Shmi, he will build a Bayis for my name. U'Kvar Nemron Nevuzo Al Yidei Yeshaya. So we have over here, a whole parak in Sefer Yeshaya, parak Mem Dalid, where Hashem is telling, is predicting that this person will be born and he'll build, and that's what it means over here. When Koresh was very well aware of what it said in Sefer Yeshaya, and he knew that this was his mission, this was his role, this was his calling, his divine calling in life, and that's why he indeed said, "V'pakad alai livnos l'abayis b'yushlaim." He commanded me to build for Hashem a bayis b'yushlaim asher b'Yehuda. Rashi says, what is in Yehuda Asher b'Medinas, which is in the Medina, in the region of Yehuda. Okay, so we have here Sach HaKol. What do we take out of this? Who are we going to some of the Midrashim? What do we have over here? We have here the first two Psukim. The first two Psukim is laying out for us that this Sefer Ezra is a continuation of Sefer Daniel. Daniel pretty much lived all of the events of Daniel that happened. Daniel took place until the first year of Koresh. That's really what it's all about. To review, what happened to Daniel was basically he was taken to the palace. He interpreted the two dreams of Nebuchadnezzar, the statue and the tree. Remember, we had the first two prokim. There was a massive statue made from different. Nebuchadnezzar did not even know what the dream was. He needed Daniel to tell him what the dream was, and then on top of that, to interpret the dream. And the dream was the statue with the head of gold, the shoulders of silver, the body of iron, and the legs of copper. The body was made from copper, and the lower portion of the body was made from a combination of pottery and iron, and that represented the four malchios. And then we had the second dream. The second dream was of the tree, this master tree, Godu Ilana, the tree grew to a magnificent height. It could be seen throughout the entire world. And suddenly, the Malach came and said, go to Ilana, chop down the tree. And this predicted that the Nebuchadnezzar would become a beast. He would lose his sanity and would roam like an animal in the forest for 7 years. So those two dreams took place during the middle of the Malchus of the Nebuchadnezzar. That was the first section of the Neil. And then came along this story, then came along, we jumped down to the time of Belshazzar. And first came Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and they were thrown to the Kivshan Ho'esh by Nebuchadnezzar. And then we skipped over Evel Merodach, we jumped down to Belshazzar, all of the different events that happened with Belshazzar, especially the handwriting on the wall, and then the end of the Neil pretty much focused on the time of Daryavesh and of Daryavesh HaModai. And the Neil was shocked. How could it possibly be? The Malchus of Nebuchadnezzar has come to an end, and Mashiach has not yet come, because Nebuchadnezzar's Malchus was exactly to the day 70 years. And Yirmiyah said that after 70 years, Hashem will be Lamalus L'Chavos Yerushalayim. It's been 70 years since the Nebuchadnezzar came to power. And him, his son, his grandson have now all gone. How come Mashiach has not yet come? So the Malach came to Daniel and told him, you're making a big mistake. The 70 years does not refer to the time of the Nebuchadnezzar. It refers to the time of the... It refers to two other times. And that's... It refers to the time of the Churban. 70 years from the time of the Churban. And 70 years from the time of the Kibush of Yehoyakim. And now we pick up there. That's what Sefer Ezra is coming now to the moment of Pekida, 70 years since the Kibush of Yehoyakim, and we have still 18 years to go until it will be 70 years to the Churban, to be 70 years from the Churban. Okay, and then let's discuss a few points. Rashi here says that this Sefer is a continuation from Daniel. There are other midrashim, other stories that tell us that Sefer Ezra is a continuation from Megillas Esther. Now that's a little bit difficult because the Megillah, all the Chumash Megillos are not Sefarim. We have Sefarim and we have Megillos. Okay, the Megillos, the Chumash Megillos are incorporated into Kesuvim, but a Megillah has different halachos. A Megillah is written differently. There are differences in how a Megillah is written. But there are Chumash Megillos. Daniel is a Sefer. Ezra is a Sefer. So, but chronologically, it's true. Because most of the events that are going to be described, even though it's true that we start here, we mentioned the proclamation, we're going to very quickly jump to what happened after the time of the miracle of Purim. When Ezra, later on in this Sefer, will ascend, will take the Jewish people back to Eretz Yisrael, and will give them Musar. Why is there so much intermarriage? It will begin during most of the bulk of Ezra. The events of Ezra are happening at the time when the Jewish people are returning to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash after the miracle of Purim. So chronologically, it's really true that Sefer Ezra, the bulk of Sefer Ezra, is coming after the story of Megillas Esther. Now there's another Medrash, another source that says that Sefer Ezra comes after Sefer Yirmiyah, because Yirmiyah went into Galus with the Jewish people, and he was in Bavel, and the end of his period of time, where he described Lamalas L'Chavos Yerushalayim Shivim Shana, now it follows from there exactly what Rashi said. It's now been exactly 70 years to Kibush Yoyakim. Let's continue the storyline. Let's continue what happened. So we have another Medrash that tells us, another source, that Sefer Ezra follows Sefer Yirmiyah, where Yirmiyah is focusing on the Churban, and after 70 years from the Churban, there's going to be a redemption that will occur in stages. First, a Pekida, you can return, and 18 years later, where they'll actually be able to conclude the building of the Beis HaMikdash. There's another medrash that says that Sefer Ezra follows from Sefer Divrei Hayomim, because the first pasuk of Sefer Ezra is identical to the last pasuk of Divrei Hayomim, word for word. If you learn Divrei Hayomim and you come to the very end of the entire period of history, it's exactly the same pasuk. V'shnas achas l'koresh melech paras l'chlois devar Hashem b'bipi yirm yehei Hashem as ruach koresh melech paras l'avai kol b'gam. This pasuk, let me read you the last pasuk of Divrei Hayomim. The last two psukim, okay. The last two psukim. It's a little bit different, but basically here, this is Divrei Hayomim. I'm reading over here from Divrei Hayomim. You have it in your svarim. Perik lamed vav pasuk haveis uvishnas achas lechoresh melech paras lechlois devar Hashem b'fi yirmiya hey Hashem es ruach koresh melech paras vayaver kol b'chol malchus v'gam b'michtav lema. Exactly. Exactly, that's the second to last pasuk of Divrei Hayamim. And then the last pasuk is similar. It's not exactly the same. Okay, that's the same. And he has commanded me. That's exactly Asher Bihu. That's also the same. But here is where it's a little bit different. It now goes on to the third pasuk of Sefer Ezra. Mi v'chem mikol amoy Hashem elokav imo. Who among all of the nation of Hashem, where Hashem is with the nation, the Yohal, let them ascend. So it stops in the middle of Pasuk Gimel. It's a fascinating thing, because we have a general rule called Pasuk Moshe Rabbeinu Anan Paskinan. We're very care, very meticulous in how to break up Pesukim. So here we have the first three Pesukim of Sefer Ezra. And the very end of Sefer Divrei Hayamim are 2.5 of those psukim. So being that Sefer Ezra repeats exactly what it says in the last three psukim on Sefer Divrei Hayamim, that is an indication that Sefer Ezra is continuing where Divrei Hayam is leaving off. Divrei Hayam is leaving off with Koresh, giving the proclamation, all of the Jews can return, Hashem has given the authority of the entire world, all the Jews shall return. And now what happens? Well, here we have Sefer Ezra. Let's discuss the details of what happened during that period of time, which includes Sefer Ezra and Sefer Nehemiah. So it's a continuation. So look what's going on over here. It's fascinating. Sefer Ezra, Rashi says, is a continuation of Sefer Daniel. And it's true, chronologically speaking, it's true. Daniel ends with the visions that are taking place a year before this statement. This statement, Uvishnas Achas Lukarish, was exactly 1 year before the last vision of, approximately 1 year before the last vision. Or, I shouldn't say even that year itself. I think it's the year itself. When Koresh became the king, in that year he had the vision before Koresh actually issued the proclamation. So this continues exactly where Daniel left off in time. On the other hand, that's why it says Uvishnas, Vavim, that's what Rashi says. But it's also right after the timeline of Megillas Esther. And it's also after the theme of Sefer Yirmiyah. And it's also a direct continuation of Sefer Divrei Hayamim. Amazing. I don't think
Divrei Hayamim was history, right?
It's history, but it's holy. It's part of Ksuvim.
It was written up here. Parallel to what's going on in time-wise.
Well, it goes back and forth. But the basic end of the timeline doesn't go into the details. Like the end of Divrei Hayamim stops here, and this continues forward. So this really is Divrei Hayamim is a history book from the time of Adam Harishon all the way until the time of Koresh, and Ezra goes further. What happened after Koresh?
Daniel would be parallel to Divrei Hayamim.
Daniel would be included in the timeline of Divrei Hayamim, but Ezra and Nehemiah come after Divrei Hayamim. So it's interesting to note that from all of the Sifrei HaTanakh, Ezra is unique in that it has no makom. Its makom is everywhere. Like Yoshua, Sefer Yoshua comes right after Chumash Devarim. Okay, we don't have any sekas. You have Chamishei Chumashei Torah. Now we start Nevi'im. There's nothing to talk about. There's no ands, if, buts. Sefer Yoshua is the first of Sefer of the Nevi'im, because it says Moshe Rabbeinu has died, Moshe has transferred the reins of authority, leadership to Yoshua, Yeshua takes over, and he brings the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael exactly where Moshe left off. Then comes the Shoftim. There's no it's timeline, it's clear as day. Then comes Shmuel. Then comes Malachim. After Malachim already, it gets a little bit confusing. Really, after Malachim, you would really go to Sefer Yirmiyah. Because Yirmiyah was written by the same group of people, and Yirmiyah really is more of a historical document. There's plenty of Mussar, but Yirmiyah is very different than Sefer Yechezkel and Sefer Yirmiyah. But that's not the way it's ordered. Now it's Sefer Tanakh. Now Sefer Tanakh we have first Yeshaya, then Yirmiyah, and then Yechezkel. Okay, so those three you can play around with. Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, Yechezkel, the order is different. But there's a logic to it. When you come now to Ksuvim, okay, so you have done. Ezra is in a class by itself. It can be attached to four different Sfarim. Daniel, Ezra, Megillas Esther, Divrei Hayamim, and Yirmiyah. I don't think there's any other Sefer in Tanakh, from the Chof Dalet Sefer Tanakh, that is so confusing as to where we should put it, we should attach it to in the previous set of Sefarim. Yes, Nehemiah. Yes, absolutely. Nehemiah definitely follows from Ezra. Nehemiah is really one sefer. Nehemiah and Ezra, in fact, we'll learn later on in the Gemara, is only considered to be one sefer. When they quote a pasuk in Nehemiah, it's written in Sefer Ezra. Sefer Ezra, take out the Tanakh. It's not in Sefer Ezra, it's Sefer Nehemiah. In Chazal, we'll discuss that it's considered to be one Sefer. Sefer Ezra, Sefer Nehemiah, it's one book. Okay, we'll get to more details about that hopefully later on. But I just want this point it's an important point to remember. It's unique in that it begins with a Vav. I'm not sure if there's any other Sefer that begins with a Vav.
Yeah, you can.
What? Who?
Ve'el ha'dvarim, ha'shetzivim.
Chumash. Okay, that's in Chumash. Because the Chamish and Chumash Torah. Chamish and Chumash Torah. But we'll talk about the Sefer HaTanach. Yoshua is also above? Vayihi. Okay, clearly connects. Okay, Vayihi b'miach HaShverosh. Esther also, Vayihi. Okay, but Okay, so let's put that aside. Okay. But it's an interesting note that the Mepharshim do emphasize the Vav, and that itself is a statement. That being that it can be attached to so many different Sfarim tells us that the lessons in Sefer Ezra are timeless. Don't take Ezra and focus, oh, this is just part of this Kufan history. There are lessons to be learned in Sefer Ezra, and these lessons are natural extension of Megillas Esther. They're an extension of Yirmiyah. They're an extension of Daniel, and they're an extension of Divrei Hayamim. Each Sefer is very different. Daniel is not Megillas Esther. It's a whole different world. Divrei Hayamim is a whole different world. Sefer Yirmiyah, as we all know, Yirmiyah has a whole different focus. Yirmiyah wrote his own. It's different. And yet Ezra is the outgrowth of these Svarim. That means Ezra is multifaceted. It's extremely complex. That you could attach it to so many different Svarim. Because that's a very important point, very important hakdama to say for Ezra.
Here, we know who wrote Yibrei Ayyamin? So that we...
I'm sure it's known. I don't know, but I'm sure it's.
Who wrote Ezra and Nehemiah? They say it was.
So Ezra, the one who wrote Nehemiah wrote. That's why I'm coming to the next thing I want to point out. The one who wrote Sefer Ezra was Nehemiah.
So
Nehemiah wrote Sefer Ezra. That brings us to the next medrash. Why then do we not give him credit? Why do we call the entire Sefer after his name? So Chazal are critical. Chazal are critical on. Let me read you the entire Medrash. Sefer Ezra mi Kesavo. The Medrash asks, who wrote Sefer Ezra? So the Gemara says, Komil di Ezra, Nehemiah ben Chakalia Amrinhu. He wrote it.
Nehemiah,
what?
I think
Also the Medrash tells why he didn't get the credit. This is a Gemara. It's not a Medrash. It's a Gemara himself, Sanhedrin. So why then was it not called Nehemiah? So the Gemara is Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba Mimnei Shehech Sik Toiva La'atzma. He had too much pride. Because Shenemar Zochra Li Elokai L'toiva Kol Asher Asisi Alo Amazeh. Hashem, he said to Hashem in Sefer Nehemiah, remember me. Give me credit. Give me my reward. Look what I have done for the Jewish people. We'll see what he did in Sefer Nehemiah. Hashem was not pleased. Chazal are critical of him. In Mesechus Sanhedrin, it's a Gemara, it's Tzadi Gimel, because he demanded recognition, and therefore he was punished, and the Sefer, at least this section, at least Sefer Ezra, this section is not called after his name. The Gemara then goes on to say, oh, what about David HaMelech? So how come we don't find Chazal criticizing David? David also said something almost identical. He said, Zochreini Hashem Birtsoin Anecha, Pogdeini Bishuasach. We say this in the evening, Hashem remember me. So the Gemara answers, when David made that statement, that was part of Tefillah. That was part of his request that in my merit, may you have Rachamim upon Klal Yisrael. Whereas Nehemiah, where he made this statement, where he asked Hashem to remember me, it was not in the form of a request that in that merit you should have mercy upon the Jewish people. So therefore he's criticized, and that's why Sefer Ezra is not called after his name. Yeah.
So will you have to say that Divrei HaNaamim was written after Sefer Ezra because it has a quotation of the opening of Ezra?
I'm not sure.
We know who wrote.
We can say just the opposite. You could say that Ezra was written after Divrei HaYamim, because Ezra has a quotation, because Ezra's quoting what it says. So you one took from the other. But it's a fascinating thing that they are identical to the first 2.5 psukim of Sefer Ezra are identical to the last 3 psukim of Sefer Divrei HaYamim. Okay, so now, yeah. That's one thing, and then okay, another two small points. We'll conclude. Koresh has multiple names. Okay, this gets a little bit confusing. This is the Gemara in Masechta, the beginning of Masechta Rosh Hashanah Daf Gimel. Over here, he's called Koresh. Why is he called Koresh? So in other places, okay, this hopefully we'll get into later on. He's also called Daryovesh. Now, that's very difficult because his son was called Daryovesh. So this is a discussion. We have to keep this in mind. Who Koresh? I'll read you 3 names. Who Koresh? Who Daryovesh? Who Artachshashta? Why is he called 3 names? So the Gemara gives him credit. Koresh is from the word kosher, not in the right order. Chof Reshin, exchange the last 2 letters. Kosher. He was a melech kosher, kosher meat. He was a good man. Why was he a good man? He gave permission for the Jewish people to return to Eretz Yisrael. That's why he's called Koresh. Why is he called Artachshashta? Because that's the name of his country. Okay, we call him Koresh Melech Paras, but if you look in the ancient books, supposedly the actual name of the country that he lived in or where he came from was called Artachshashta, and it was common to be called by the name of your country. I once went out of town to a place they never, would you believe this? A place they never heard of Flatbush. They never heard of a place called Flatbush.
Wow.
So I come there and they say, you come from, they said to me, I was this way, you come from Flatbush? So the whole week they called me, they pointed at me, he's a Flatbusher. The Flatbusher is here. Because in Europe, why would they call this? This is like a European time. In Europe, they used to live in these little shtetl. How big was a shtetl? 50 families, 30 families. Every shtetl had a name. Oh, this is a Satna. This is a... By where you came from.
Big city,
okay, but if you have 100 of them, but if you have Varsha was a mamish, how many people live in Varsha? 100,000 of people live in Varsha, maybe even millions. What? How many live in Warsaw? Millions? Hundreds of thousands for sure. Okay, Jews, but if you have 100 people from Varsha, you're not going to go, oh, this one's from Varsha. But we have only one of them. Oh, this is the only guy that comes from Radin. How big was Radin? It wasn't a big place, Radin. Also, this is a Radinah. This is a a Satmar. How many people come from Satmar? Because Satmar was a big place. So I was the only guy from Flatbush. I never heard of Flatbush. So I was a Flatbushah. So here we have, he was called Nartach Shasta. He was Nartach Shasta. That's where he came from. He was called by that name. And why is he called Daryavish? His real name was Daryavish. I don't know. That changed the whole dynamics. Daryavish, he was called Koirish because his son was called Daryavish. So maybe it means that he called Junior. So maybe really that Daryavish, the one that we called Koirish, the one who took over the Malchus, the first king of Paras, who took over the reign of Malchus from Daryavish HaModai, maybe really his real name, it seems to me, was really called Daryavish. He was known as Koirish, but he named his son Achashverosh, that gave birth to a child. Darius. Yeah, Darius. There's Darius, but there's Darius the Medi, and there's Darius the Persian. The Persian. But he called it, then it would mean that he called his son by his own name, like Goyim do today. People, even Sfardim, they go Junior. Well, Sfardim call their grandchildren. They don't call their children by their own name. Sfardim, their own children? They call their grandchildren. The grandchildren, they call the grandchild after, but they don't, you know, with Sfardim don't call their own children by their own name. That they don't go Avram and Avram. They call the grandchild by the name of the grandfather, the living grandfather. I know someone that, a regular Ashkenazi guy like me, regular guy, and he had a grandchild and he was begging his child to call the grandchild by his name. He said, why should I wait until I die? I want to have the hanah of no longer have a grandchild by my name in my lifetime. So he pestered, he really badgered, a regular guy. No, but the Goyim named their own children Junior. The Goyim named their own children John Junior. They named it. But by Claudius, we don't do that. That you don't do. But the Svardim will name of the grandchild, they name it's the biggest cover to name after the name of the grandfather. But only a Svardi, the real Svardim. So a regular Ashkenazi guy from a regular young Israel, he had a grandchild, a regular guy, he had a grandchild and he was begging his son to name the grandchild after himself. So the grandson, a real Ben Torah, so he goes to the Rav, my father's driving me crazy to name my newborn after him, and he's alive. He tells me like he wants to do this because it means so much to him. So should I do it? So he told me the Rav told him, went to a very big Adam Gadol. Adam told him, no, do not do it. Says it's not your custom. It's not your custom. You're not a Sephardi. You have no Sephardish blood in you. And Meshagas, he wants you to name. That's not what's done. It's a Meshunadik. Be normal. Do what everyone else does. If you're a Sephardi, so you do it. Are you a Sephardi? No. So what are you doing this? What are you breaking the rules? Okay. But the point over here is he has three names. Okay, one last thing, then we'll stop. He says over here, he brags. Look at this pasuk base. Koyama Hashem, Koyish Milparas, Kol Mamluchai Saritz Nasin Li Hashem Lukei Shemayim. Oh, the first thing the guy does is, I'm in charge. I'm the boss. I rule the world. So the Gemara says, really? You know, we have a famous Gemara Masechta Megillah, Daf Yud Aleph. It says there are only three people in the history of the world that had shlita over the entire world. Who are they? Achav, one of the kings of one of the Jewish kings. Achashverosh. Okay, later, not Koresh, but Koresh's son, the next king, but not Koresh. And Nebuchadnezzar. So where does he come over here? Where does Koresh come over here and say, "Oh, Kol Mamluchos Aretz Nasan Li Hashem Lukei Hashemayim"? So the Medrash says, the Gemara says, fascinating, it's a lie. It's not true. He was just bragging. He was bragging something that wasn't true. He did not control the entire world. He controlled most of the world. He liked to brag, I'm the boss.
He was making it up.
The Far East also at that time, like China?
The civilized world. I don't know if it was civilized. I don't know.
Even now it's not civilized.
I don't know. You can't say what was doing in Australia and New Zealand at this point in time.
Even as far as China wasn't in their realm.
You can't say no one lived in China. China, I think we know for a fact there were people living there at this point in time.
But they had their own culture, their own world.
It's before Marco Polo. But there were definitely people there.
Can't
see, and they had advanced, very sophisticated. I don't know. Alex, so it's
known world.
So Erech Rami, it seems not. It seems not. It seems there were regions that were out of his reach. I don't know. But it's a Gemara. The Gemara of Megillah says there were three people, and they asked the pasuk. They asked in this pasuk. This pasuk it says, "Kol mamluchay saretz nasan li Hashem lokei hashamayim." Hashem gave me the whole world. It's not true. Hashem did. He was bragging something that he did not have. Okay, there's more to it, but these are the basic hakdama. It's now this the basic yisod is this can be attached to four different svarim. Each sefer that it's attaching itself to is very different. It's fascinating. It's very different svarim. Yirmi Divrei Hayamim, Esther and Daniel. Yet Ezra is an outgrowth, can be viewed as an outgrowth of those four svarim. It's multidimensional, multifaceted. It's taking place at the time of 70 years Pekida, Aschalta de Geula, 70 years since the time that Nebuchadnezzar conquered, laid his hand on Eretz Yisrael and removed the king Yehoiakim and replaced him Yehoiachin. And what else did we mention? Koresh has different names. Okay, he's different names. Okay, so we'll leave it with that up to Pasuk Gimel.